Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Backfield on third and four. Ravens moving right to left on your radio dial. Blitz coming. Jackson firing. Intercepted. Vaccaro picks it off in front of Boykin. And the Titans get their third takeaway of the night.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Titans might need a few of those as they head into Kansas City. They're going to need all the help they can get against a red-hot Chiefs team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Looking ahead to the AFC Championship, let's talk about those Titans and head to Nashville to welcome Eric Bacharach, who covers the team for the Tennessean and will be there at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday. Well, let's start with the easy question. How much buzz is there in Nashville about the Titans right now, Eric?
It's really insane right now, Amy. Actually, they're planning a watch party down on Lower Broadway, which is, you know, something similar to what they did for the draft here, which was in April. And that scene, just to be down there on Lower Broadway, it was surreal. It was crazy. And, you know, I think this will be something to that effect, just because, again, this is, you know, the first time the Titans are in the AFC Championship game since 2002. The way they're doing it, you know, they went into New England, they went into Baltimore, beat those teams, kind of just the way Derrick Henry is running. There's a lot of reasons to be excited about this team. So the buzz, I mean, it's, you can't walk 10 feet in Nashville without hearing about the Titans right now.
This was a game against the Kansas City Chiefs that kind of helped get the Titans to where they are. So second half of the season, and it's part of kind of the new look offense. So it's in that run where they won, what was it, 6 of 7 games? And that kind of served notice to the rest of the NFL. What do you remember about that game against Kansas City?
Yeah, you know, that was sort of the game to me. Really, if you look at sort of Derrick Henry's game log, that's the game where he got going. He had over 180 rushing yards, and from there was pretty much unstoppable the rest of the season, and that's obviously carried over into the playoffs. The one thing I remember more than anything else was in the fourth quarter of that game, Titans were down by 9 points midway through the fourth quarter. They have a 10-play drive. They used Derrick Henry on 7 of those plays, run him 7 times, and he caps that drive with a rushing touchdown, you know, in a drive that could have, you know, I think a lot of teams in the NFL pass a lot during a drive like that midway through the fourth quarter, trailing by multiple scores. The Titans stayed committed to the run. I think that's been a hallmark of their sort of MO the rest of the way since that point. You know, I think that'll be a key on Sunday, is just staying committed to the run, even if you fall down a couple of scores. I think if you fall, you know, let's say 3 scores down, then you kind of get in trouble. But Derrick Henry is, you know, the heartbeat of this offense. He's really the foundation for everything. Everything sort of stems from him, and you kind of have to get him going. And I think week 10 is really where that started to show for the Titans this season. The week before, against the Panthers in the first half, Derrick Henry got only 2 carries to Deion Lewis's 3. And you know, I know fans in Nashville and also media were kind of trying to wrap our brains around how that could have happened. But from that point forward, you know, the Titans really stayed committed to Derrick Henry. You know, they understood that he's a guy that gets better as the game goes on, and they really stayed committed to that. So that's the one thing that stands out to me, in addition to, you know, the Titans sort of coming through late with that 23-yard or 20-yard completion touchdown pass from Ryan Tannehill to Adam Humphries with 23 seconds left that put them on top. And then, of course, the blocked field goal. There was a lot of sort of memorable moments in that game. But to me, it was really a turning point in terms of the trajectory of their offense, because the fourth quarter of that game is really where I saw them fully commit to Derrick Henry, and they haven't looked back since.
Eric Bacharach covers the Titans for the Tennessean and will be headed to Kansas City for the AFC Championship on Sunday. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. As you mentioned, Derrick Henry had this phenomenal second half and it's continued into the postseason. Is that all that had to change? The only thing that's different is that they decided to make him the focal point of the offense?
I think that's as I obviously alluded to, that's a big part of it. You know, there has been certainly other components. I really do think the way the offense is playing now and has played the second half is sort of just the convergence of a lot of different factors. The offensive line, for example, has played much better second half of the season and the postseason versus the first half. And then, you know, you have to give a lot of credit to Ryan Tannehill in the passing game. I think that's helped open things up for Derrick Henry, just the threat of a passing game. You know, through the first 6 weeks of the season with Marcus Mariota under center, you know, the Titans offense was just lifeless and there just was no semblance of a passing attack. Ryan Tannehill really changed that in a hurry. You know, from week 7 to 17, he was averaging 260 passing yards per game. You know, had a bunch of really explosive plays through the air to A.J. Brown and really found a rhythm. And you know, on top of all that, the play action kind of became a big factor for the Titans. They were really successful in that department, just with sort of the run game playing off the pass game and vice versa, with Derrick Henry playing as well as he was, and again, the passing game being successful. So, you know, I think there was a lot of different factors. I think Arthur Smith, first-year offensive coordinator, first-year play caller, sort of came into his own, found a really strong groove. I think he deserves a lot of credit, you know, for as much criticism as he was getting through the first 6 weeks of the season. He deserves heaps of praise at this point for what he's done with this offense. So, again, a lot of factors sort of just came together, I think, for the Titans, for the offense to be performing the way it has through the second half.
So is Arthur Smith responsible for the jump pass?
Yeah, you know, I think he's part of the mastermind of that. I think, you know, that's something that Derrick Henry said he's been practicing, and he's had a couple of those where he's tried a pass in the past and it hasn't worked out. And, you know, that was kind of something that stuck with him. He wanted to, he's a competitive guy. He wanted to complete that pass. So, you know, I think that's Arthur Smith. That's Mike Vrabel. They've, you know, been aggressive with sort of the trickeration this season. You never really know what's up their sleeve. So, I know in that moment, you know, the Ravens were thinking, this play has the complete feel of a run, caught them off guard, and Derrick Henry, to his credit, jumped and somehow found Corey Davis. So, yeah, you know, I think Arthur Smith and Mike Vrabel both are responsible for sort of just a lot of creative plays that the Titans have conjured up this season.
Mm. I have to ask, though, I mean, we're talking about Ryan Tannehill and the success the team had with him. He led the NFL in passer rating. We know that he can deliver the football, and yet in these first two games in the postseason, he hasn't even had 100 yards passing. Is that still the plan moving forward? Just, hey, we're going to run Derrick Henry until you can stop him?
Yeah, you know what? It's crazy just when you look at that stat, the fact that the Titans have gone into New England, gone into Baltimore, and won games without throwing for over 100 passing yards. I think a lot of that was strategy. Some of it, for sure, was probably struggle a little bit when it comes to the success of the passing game. But, you know, Ryan Tannehill didn't throw a ton of passes, and he still had a bunch of really important throws, a bunch of really impactful throws. Threw a couple of touchdown passes against the Ravens. Each of those was huge, and each of those represented a really good, strong throw from Tannehill. I think that has to change in Kansas City just because of the offense they're going against. Again, the Titans offense stems from Derrick Henry, and I think you got to get him 25 plus carries. But just to keep pace with Patrick Mahomes and an offense that, you know, posted 51 points last week, I think they're going to have to throw it certainly much more. I think, you know, he's probably going to have to throw closer to the 260 yards per game he was averaging during the regular season as he was the starter. You know, so again, it's not like he hasn't produced for the Titans in the starting role.
Right.
He just hasn't in the postseason. So I think it's there for them. I think in this game especially, they're going to have to utilize that a little bit more. But I do think in the past couple of games, part of it was strategy and just realizing that, you know, especially you look at the Patriots game, they were better defensively against the pass on the run. So you really you go at them with Derrick Henry. And just sort of the way the game unfolded in Baltimore, they couldn't stop Derrick Henry. Why go away from what was working?
Right.
In a game that, you know, has the looks of a shootout, I do think it's got to change. I think they need to get more out of the passing offense this weekend.
And right now they are so good in the red zone, which is also a great asset for them. Eric Bacharach of the Tennessean with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio, talking AFC Championship and the Titans in this uncharted territory against the Chiefs, who will host for the second straight year. What is the Titans' fatal flaw, though? Every team's got one. What's their big weakness?
You know, that's an interesting question. I think part of it is, there are some moments where the defense, especially – It's kind of ironic because through the first 6 weeks of the season, and going back to last year, this defense was its strong suit was sort of the facet of the team that it leaned on, and it's kind of been a little bit of a role reversal since Tannehill took over, since Derrick Henry has sort of gone crazy. The Titans secondary has been good, but it's been banged up. You know, they were missing Malcolm Butler, who they placed on injured reserve in November. That was a really big loss. He was having a really strong year for a while there. They were missing Adoree Jackson, who's back now, and that's big, especially with his speed and, you know, trying to cover a guy like Tyreek Hill. That's going to be important. But, you know, I go back to that Week 10 matchup, and Patrick Mahomes really sort of carved up that Titans secondary, really sort of had his way with Travis Kelce, with Tyreek Hill. There just wasn't a whole lot they could do to stop him. So I think that could be a factor. I think they're going to have to find ways to keep Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable, which is difficult because he's a quarterback that's really handles pressure really well. I certainly think that might be one of their fatal flaws if there is one on Sunday. Another one would just be honestly field goal kicking all season long. It's been a thing for them. They were 8 for 18. During the regular season, that conversion rate was far and away the worst in the NFL. In fact, 8 field goals made was the fewest since the 99 Cleveland Browns, who went 2-14. They averaged like 13 points a game. So this team is different than that team. It's kind of remarkable how they were able to do what they did with really no semblance of a field goal kicking game. And Greg Joseph, who they signed to replace Ryan Succop before Week 16, has gone 4 straight games for the Titans without even attempting a field goal, which is kind of a crazy stat in itself. A lot of that is due to sort of the red zone success. Titans are 9 for 9 in the red zone week 16, so they really haven't necessarily needed him. But just again, I don't know how confident Titans fans would be, you know, in a situation where their field goal kicker comes out for a winning field goal. I've kind of felt all along that's what kind of the season was building toward.
Oh no.
But we'll see. It's certainly for the Titans been their fatal flaw throughout this season. But again, Greg Joseph hasn't even attempted a field goal since he's gone here. He is 15 for 15 on extra points, so take that for what it's worth. But will be interesting to see if that comes to a head at any point this weekend.
Going to be a fantastic atmosphere at Arrowhead. A lot of Titans fans expecting on hand. I certainly hear from a lot of them on my show. You can follow Eric on Twitter at Eric Bacharach, Bacharach. Will be there at Arrowhead for his first time. That's going to be fun covering the game. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. Enjoy the experience.
Thanks so much, Amy. Appreciate it.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for Week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.